Chapter 2. 2. Benham did not go about the world telling people of this consuming research. He was not the prophet or preacher of his idea. It was too living and intricate and uncertain a part of him to speak freely about. It was his secret self. To expose it casually would have shamed him. He drew all sorts of reserves about him. He wore his manifest imperfections turned up about him like an overcoat in bitter wind. He was content to be inexplicable. His thoughts led him to the conviction that this magnificent research could not be, any more than any other research can be, a solitary enterprise, but a delayed expression. In a mighty writing and stowing away of these papers he found a relief from the unpleasant urgency to confess and explain himself prematurely. So that White, though he knew Benham with the intimacy of an old schoolfellow who had renewed his friendship, and had shared his last days, and been a witness of his death, read the sheets of manuscript often with surprise, and with a sense of added elucidation. And, being also a trained maker of books, White, as he read, was more and more distressed that an accumulation so interesting should be so entirely unshaped for publication. "But this will never make a book," said White with a note of personal grievance. His hasty promise in their last moments together had bound him, it seemed, to a task he now found impossible. He would have to work upon it tremendously, and even then he did not see how it could be done. This collection of papers was not a story, not an essay, not a confession, not a diary. It was nothing definable. It went into no conceivable covers. It was just, White decided, a proliferation. A vast proliferation. It wanted even a title. There were signs that Benham had intended to call it The Aristocratic Life, and that he had tried at some other time the title of an essay on aristocracy. Moreover, it would seem that towards the end he had been disposed to drop the word aristocratic altogether, and adopt some such phrase as the larger life. Once it was life set free. He had fallen away more and more from nearly everything that one associates with aristocracy. At the end only its ideals of fearlessness and generosity remained. Of all these titles, The Aristocratic Life seemed at first most like a clue to White. Benham's erratic movements, his sudden impulses, his angers, his unaccountable patiences, his journeys to strange places, and his lapses into what had seemed to be pure adventurousness, could all be put into system with that. Before White had turned over 3 pages of the great fascicle of manuscript that was called Book 2, he had found the word Ishido written with a particularly flourishing capital letter and twice repeated. "That was inevitable," said White with the comforting regret one feels for a friend's banalities. "And it dates. Unreadable this was early, modern aristocracy, the new aristocracy," he read presently, "has still to be discovered and understood. This is the necessary next step for mankind. As far as possible I will discover and understand it, and as far as I know it, I will be it. This is the essential disposition of my mind. God knows I have appetites and sloths and habits and blindnesses, but so far as it is in my power to release myself I will escape to this." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.